The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio appreciates the support from our sponsors. Make sure you check out these great companies. Sun Warrior, the pioneers of plant-based protein. Go to sunwarrior.com and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora and new Immuniflora. Learn more at enviromedica.com. Castor and Pollux, extraordinary pet food that has set the new standard of purposeful pet food. Paleo Magazine is now all digital, so you can go to paleomagazine.com and subscribe. Also, the Wellbeing Journal, combining physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and social aspects of health. VegWorld Magazine. Sign up and get a free online subscription at VegWorldMag.com. The International Society of Sports Nutrition, the only nonprofit academic society dedicated to sports nutrition and supplementation. Learn more at SportsNutritionSociety.org. And Thorne Research, redefining what it means to be well and pushing the limits of human potential. Go to the sponsor page at OneLifeRadio.com for links and listener discounts. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Baby, you're in the right place. Oh my goodness, that's love. He hit the desk. You guys, I've got my new headphones. Oh my gosh. I had no idea, Junior. These headphones are amazing. Let me finish the introduction. Love jolted me a little bit there, but we are live with you from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News News Talk. And I just plugged them in. It's a little, I'm adjusting the sound. It's crazy, the difference.
Yeah, you probably should have tried them out before you went on the air.
Yeah, I know, but
it's more of a true sound than those headphones are a real true sound. So.
Oh, I know. Oh, and they're so slick. I feel like I bought a Ferrari.
Well, you know, they're made in Italy. They're just those are Italian designed. You got the V-Motors, right?
Yeah. Well, no wonder they're so. That explains everything.
Yeah.
Oh, am I going to get in trouble for making fun of Italians?
I mean, you're Italian, so.
Yeah.
You're fine.
So forget about it, everybody. Quit being so sensitive. I got a gold chain on and I'm going to eat an egg after the show. Oh my gosh. Speaking of which, The Sopranos. Oh my gosh, the movie is going to be released of The Sopranos on October 1st. Would you like to tell people about it?
Oh,
since you're half Italian too and you're from the same area that The Sopranos was filmed in, which is
Newark
yeah. Right?
Yeah. So Newark was probably like not even 20 minutes from where I grew up in New Jersey in Bayonne. But I mean, it's the the Saints of Newark, I think it's called, Too Many Saints of Newark. But anyway, it's the prequel. It's just how Tony became Tony and how his uncle, you know, set up this empire and then Tony took it over. And it's just it basically tells the story of The Sopranos before The Sopranos and how it became. And it's Tony's son, or James Gandolfini's son, is playing young Tony, and it looks so good. Like, and it's everybody's back, like on the behind the scenes end, you know, like the director and the writers and everything. So it's, it just looks really, really good.
Yeah, and it's I've got some good mob stories.
Yeah. Mob stories.
I used to live with Joe Bonanno's nephew.
Oh, okay.
A long time ago. Not me. He was our roommate.
Gotcha.
It was my boyfriend's friend, and we were in the military. I wasn't in the military. They both were, but we were living in Germany. And anyway, he was our roommate, and he was real quiet. Oh my gosh, all this mobster stuff, but I'm getting used to these headphones. It's so crazy, Junior, that the sound is so clear. And who would have known they were made in Italy? And is that what you've got on your ears too?
Well, that's what I use. Like, those are my personal headphones, but there's just some studio headphones in here that I use. But personally, when I go out and do my gigs and stuff, yes, I use the V-Motors. Yeah. And they have the cool ear plates too. You can get those customized. Like, you could put the One Life Radio logo on them.
Really?
Yeah, it's like $50 and they laser engrave them right onto the headphones. Like, I have my logo on mine. It's really
I want
cool.
my logo.
Yeah, you
how
can.
You have to tell me how to do
just
it.
Just go to vmoda.com and you can order them.
Or our logo. Yeah. You know, One Life Radio. Well, speaking of One Life Radio, we've got a longtime guest expert, Jill Lane, on the show the whole hour today, you guys. We're so fortunate. Jill Lane is a pro athlete, health and nutrition coach with over 20 years experience in the health and wellness industry. She is the creator of Fueling Champions, which is a three-step sports performance and athletic nutrition program built to maximize the potential of student athletes and the parents and schools who support them. You can find Jill Lane on Instagram at Team Fueling Champions or her website, fuelingchampions.org. Always an honor and a pleasure, and longtime guest right from the very get-go, Jill Lane. How are you doing today?
Always good to be with you, and I'm super jealous of these high-tech headphones. Now I want some.
Oh my gosh, Jill. I feel like I've got a Ferrari on my head. They're so cool.
I love it. You sound good. You sound good.
Well, thank you. And so do you. And maybe I'll hook you guys both up with a pair. We'll do a deal with them, do a little trade out or something. But it's always great to have you on the show. And, you know, Marie actually picked this topic today because there's so many protein powders out there now and so many meal replacements. And we're going to break it down. I mean, there's literally hundreds of mixes and powders on the market for everything from weight gain to weight loss, muscle building, pre-workout, collagen replacement, vitamin supplementation, energy, sleep, stress, hydration, and more. And so it's hard, Jill, it's really hard to know which one will fit our needs best. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about the two most common types of protein powders and meal replacements. Let's do it.
Yeah, no, I love this topic because in my 20 years of being a nutritionist, I've worked across the gamut with people who are either trying to lose weight or trying to perform at their best. Or for those of us somewhere in between, we just want to feel good, have great sustained energy, sleep well, and not age too quickly. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the protein powder and really the powder supplement market is, you know, a multi-billion dollar market. And it's an interesting technology tool, to be quite honest. There's a lot of companies that are doing interesting things with what they're putting in powders. So to your point, and what we've talked about a lot in the last few times I've been on, is how in the heck do you sift through all of these choices to know, A, which one is of good quality, and B, which one really is for you? And I think that's what we'll hope to break down today.
Well, yeah, and there's a whole other story behind, you know, the ones that are on the shelves at the supermarkets. They pay for that shelf space, and they have people that monitor that shelf space and go in and check and face them out and do all these things to make sure that they have the greatest presence in those grocery stores. Whoever, it's basically you pay to play, just like a lot of things in this world, right?
Well, that's really interesting. I mean, I think it's funny that you bring that up. I was in Natural Grocers the other day, and I was looking for something, and I always make sure I look all the way down and all the way up, because mm-hmm. sometimes some of the best stuff is not at eye level.
Right.
Because to your point, sometimes potentially based on sales and specials, things are strategically placed, and it may or may not be that that's the best one. So taking your time to kind of look around or working with somebody to help you pick what's best for you mm-hmm. Will go a long way to making sure you get the results you want from the products you're taking.
Yeah, I mean, it's a game. It really is. I know a lot more than I probably should know. And just from listening to other people who are experts in that field that have done it before, that have had products on those shelves and have gotten bumped out. I mean, it happens all the time. And not just in grocery stores, like in CVS. I mean, they have to, you know, and you have to perform, basically. You have to sell a lot of product as well to keep that shelf space. And so it's a very competitive world. As you said, it's a multi-billion dollar industry worldwide. And so let's talk about this, though. What are protein powders used for? Because let's just get down to the basics.
Yeah, I mean, in simplest terms, protein powder should be being used for adding more protein to the diet or augmenting protein intake. So people might have expected me to say, oh, protein powders for getting jacked and for adding muscle and for your post-workout shake. But really, in the stripped down, most simplest thought process, we should be thinking of protein powder as another source of protein in our diet. So mm-hmm. just like chicken or eggs or fish or maybe, you know, beans or other plant-based sources, it first and primarily should be being thought of in that scope. And when you look at it in that scope, it helps inform how you then use it and when you use it. So that's what I'm looking for when I'm recommending or looking for a protein powder. I'm trying to either get more protein in somebody's meal or get more protein in their day for a specific reason. And protein powder is just a vehicle for that, just like eggs might be, or chicken might be, or fish might be, or garbanzo beans might be. So that's really in its simplest, really basic version, how you should think of protein powder.
Yeah, there's a lot to know about it, that's for sure. We've got the whole hour to talk about it, too. It's going to be great. I'm looking at the clock. We're going to go for a break. We'll be right back, everyone. More coming up with Jill Lane. She is a pro athlete health and nutrition coach with over 20 years of experience in the health and wellness industry. We'll be right back. You're listening to One Life Radio. Oh, don't you dare look back. Just keep your eyes on me. I said you're holding back. She said, shut up and dance with me. This woman is my destiny. She said, ooh, shut up and dance with me. We were victims of the night. The chemical, physical,
us on social media at One Life Radio.
All right, everyone, welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix and Jill Lane. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. If you're just now joining us, let me reintroduce Jill Lane. She is a pro athlete health and nutrition coach with over 20 years experience in the health and wellness industry. She is the creator of Fueling Champions, a three-step sports performance and athletic nutrition program built to maximize the potential of student athletes and the parents and schools who support them. You can find her on Instagram at Team Fueling Champions or her website, fuelingchampions.org. Okay, so during the break, we got a bunch of questions, Jill, about protein. Today, we're talking about protein powders versus meal replacements. Everything you want to know about protein powders with Jill Lane. Someone said, how much protein do we need every day? We've covered this a lot, but let's discuss it again because a lot of people don't know. We have new listeners every day.
Sure. Yeah, and this is one of my favorite topics, as you know, because we've been together for a long time. And I like to really trend with what the research says. And the research says that we should be eating somewhere around about 65 to 75% of our body weight in grams of protein per day. There's some other fancy equations, but I find that's the simplest one for everybody to do the math on. So take about 65 to 75% of your body weight, and that number that you get, that's the amount of grams of protein you should be eating spread throughout the day. Now, there's times when someone maybe should be eating more, and there's times potentially when someone should be eating less, but statistically across the board, that's what the research says.
Mm-hmm. So if you weigh 100 pounds, Jill, you should be consuming 65 grams of protein every day, right?
Correct. Spread between three meals. So just to give you an idea that, you know, roughly if we said 65, 20 plus or minus grams of protein at each meal, to give you an idea, one egg has roughly 6 grams of protein. Mm-hmm. And so it starts, you know, just a little bit of math. Now we're going to get into protein digestibility and how, what different foods have proteins in them when we talk about shakes and meal replacements. But it just gives people an idea. Nothing is ever perfect, you know, even if we measure out perfectly this meat patty or chicken breast or the exact amount of garbanzo beans, everybody's digestion is a little different, a little better or worse at pulling out the amino acids from the food that we eat. And so we're never exactly and specifically getting a certain amount from our food that we calculate. You know, there's a difference in how we extract the amino acids. But it just gives us a rough estimate so that we can see, am I getting the building blocks, which is what amino acids are that we get from protein. Am I getting the building blocks to make sure that I have enough resources to make enzymes, bone, muscle tissue, mood chemicals, and a variety of other tissues in the body? And that's really what makes protein so important.
Well, I'm going to pull Junior in here like the mob to continue our joke from the opening of the show. So, Junior, do you do protein powders or protein shakes?
I don't. I have in the past when I was doing some weight loss programs, and that was kind of part of it. So I have done them in the past, but no, not currently. I'm not.
Well, you know, that's one of the questions that I have for you. And so many people think, you know, that that weight loss, you know, that protein powders are good for weight loss. What do you say about that, Jill?
Well, I say everybody's most unfavorite answer, which is it depends. You can't expect just to add a protein shake to what you're currently doing if you need to lose weight and have it magically be the secret sauce that gets your weight off. You know, weight loss is, again, something that you cover, metabolic health, a lot on the show. Weight loss is a matrix of a variety of different things working together, your activity level, your hormones, how well you sleep, and then, of course, the foods you eat. So if part of the reason why someone's having trouble losing weight or maintaining weight loss is that they don't consistently get enough protein in to help with the balancing of blood sugar and a variety of other things in the body, then yes, using a protein shake to help augment protein intake, which is, again, what we talked about, the first way we should think about protein is just protein powder is just another source of protein like any other foods that we eat. If that's the reason why you're struggling to lose body fat, then it could be helpful for you. But if that's not the reason why, then adding a shake may not work. And so that's something you have to sort through with a professional. Yeah.
Well, you know, when I drink a protein shake, and typically, you know, I have two companies that I use, Thorn, and I use, of course, Sun Warrior. I've used them for years and years. And but when I have a protein shake, I'm not hungry for hours. And so I do feel that it satiates me as well as just prevents me from snacking or having cravings, especially if I drink it at night or in the, you know, like after I finish the show. I drink coffee right up until after the show, typically, and then I'll work out and then have a protein shake. And I'm not hungry for hours until dinner, really.
Yeah, we know that protein as a macronutrient, which the others are carbohydrates and fats, we know protein in particular helps with satiety, which is the feeling of fullness. And we should be able to go between 3 and 5 hours in between our meals feeling satiated, you know, not feeling hungry. Certain people, like if you have hypoglycemia or you're an athlete training at a high level, really can't or shouldn't go that long. But the average general population person should be able to go 3 to 5 hours in between meals feeling full. And protein, along with performance fats or healthy fats and fiber, are really the three key macronutrients that help us with that, because they actually signal molecules from different places in our body, usually in our stomach, but even sometimes in our fat cells, that tell our brain, hey, you're full, you're good to go, you don't need to eat, go do what you need to do in the world. And so we don't always think about the impact on our biochemistry that our food has, but our food really is in charge of signaling different things in our body that either keep us full or keep us hungry. And so we really have a lot of power on the end of our fork, or in the case of a protein shake, like, you know, in our cup, in the way that we feel.
Yeah, no, and here's another thing, you know, I mean, like we said at the opening, there are so many protein powders, meal replacements, you know, workout enhancement products. I mean, there's literally hundreds and hundreds of them. So, and they're made from all different types of protein, like pea and whey, casein, egg, hemp, and so many more. So are they all the same? Are all the proteins the same, Jill? And which ones do you think are the best?
Yeah, I mean, that's like asking if all people are the same. I mean, the answer is no. You know, I think, and I mean that just kind of joking, but sometimes we are like, okay, let's think about it. If we have, you know, protein that comes from a plant and protein that comes from an animal, would we think they're the same? You know, the source is different, so inherently the protein is different. And here's the three ways, the two major ways that they're different, and then I'll throw in a third. The first, which in the scientific community, you know, in the research, what they look at most is amino acid levels and ratios. So what amino acids, and I give this analogy a lot. So protein is like Legos. You know, you get a Lego kit that builds a house. Mm-hmm. And then the cool thing about Legos is you can take apart that house, and there's all these different colored Legos, and you can turn it into a car, or you can turn it into a boat, or you can turn it into a cow or something else. You can build new things out of it. A chicken breast, think of that house like a chicken breast or a bowl of chickpeas or a protein shake or a piece of salmon. It's an intact protein. But when we eat those foods, our digestion breaks down that protein into a variety of different amino acids, and those different colored Legos signify those different amino acids that our body then disperses to build different things. Like I said, mood chemicals and hair, skin and nail, bone, muscle, on and on and on. And so the different sources of proteins that you mentioned, whey, casein, egg, hemp, pea, pumpkin seed protein, there's so many out on the market now, all have different amino acid levels and ratios because their kit, their builder kit, their Lego builder kit is different, has a bunch of different color Legos. So that's the first thing. The second is digestibility. We all have a different capability to digest proteins, and yeah, inherently the proteins in and of themselves are digested a little differently based on, oftentimes, the amino acid content. And so those are slightly linked or can be individualistic just based on someone's current level of health. So for some people, pea protein tears them up. It gives them a lot of gas and bloating because they don't handle legumes really well, and they might do really well with whey or vice versa. And so that's something that you have to sort out yourself and really through trial and error, working through an expert, if you feel like you don't tolerate protein powders. And the last has something to do with that, which is really just preference on texture and flavor and source. So if you don't want to use an animal source product, you're going to lean on the plant-based. Or if you don't really care, then it's just a matter of which one do I like the taste and texture of the most.
Yeah.
And so are they all the same? No, they differ in amino acid levels and ratios. They differ in digestibility and absorption. And then they differ just by preference and taste and texture sometimes.
Well, and there's so much to consider. You know, I'm looking, I've got the Sun Warrior Protein Warrior Blend in my hand right now. This is what I typically have a shake every single day after the show. And it's got, you know, 27 grams of protein. It's keto friendly. It's got 6 BCAAs for recovery and MCTs for the brain. Let's talk about the BCAAs. Is that important?
Yeah, so BCAA stands for branched chain amino acids. There are 3 of them. And the branched chain amino acids belong to a bigger group of amino acids called essential amino acids. And those amino acids, stay with me here, belong to even a bigger group of just the general amino acids, 20 to 21, depending on who you ask, that compromise all the structural needs of the human body.
Mm-hmm.
So the BCAAs are most well known for helping with maintenance and addition of lean body mass or muscle. But here's what we know actually from the research is that to get the best bang for your buck when it comes to the maintenance and addition of muscle and strength, which is important for all of us, whether we're athletic or not, that you should have all of the essential amino acids with it. And they're called essential amino acids because they're essential for humans to eat because we cannot make them. We cannot synthesize them within the body. We have to get them from an outside source.
Mm-hmm.
You also hear about this when it comes to essential fatty acids, like the omega-3 fatty acids.
Right.
And so BCAAs are a group of 3 aminos that are in the essential amino acid family. So it's great that they're in the plant-based mix that you use from Sunwear because most plant-based protein sources are not considered complete protein sources because they're low in one or more of the essential amino acids, which could be problematic because, again, they're essential. We need to get them in from the outside source. So they're augmenting that powder to help fill the gaps where the plants might need a little help. And so that's great.
Yeah. What about carbohydrate content? What should we watch for on that? I mean, especially, I guess, if you're keto, you just want to avoid almost all carbohydrates because the percentage you can ingest each day is so low. But what should, you know, like someone like myself consider about carbohydrate content?
Well, I think that I like the protein powder. Back to the initial thing question you asked is what are protein powders for? Therefore, adding protein to the diet when it's needed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't look to protein powders for carbohydrates, fats, or much of anything else. I want to just have protein. And then based on someone's needs, whether it's a performance need, a weight loss need, a metabolic health need, on and on and on, we can add other macronutrients, carbohydrates, fiber, fat. And so with that being said, I want next to no carbohydrates in the protein powder that I'm using or recommending to people, because everybody, as you know, you've had lots of experts talk about this, everybody has a different carbohydrate need. Right. Most people do better for a variety of reasons on lower carbohydrate intake, whether they're keto or not, unless they're a high-performing athlete.
Right.
And I think it goes without saying, because someone might pick up their protein powder at home right now and go, oh, mine has zero carbs. And I would say, okay, well, how is it being sweetened then? Because if you've ever had an unsweetened protein powder, they don't taste good.
Yeah.
Somehow it's being sweetened, and we have to make sure it's not from an artificial sweetener.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So much to know. Oh, my gosh. Jill Lane, everyone, stay tuned. More coming up with her right after the break. You're listening to One Life Radio. Boom, 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 gotta get that. 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 Boom, 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 that boom, 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 that boom.
Level visual. I got that boom, boom, boom. How to beat bang. I like that boom, boom, pow. Them chickens jogging my style. They try to copy my swagger. I'm on that next now. I'm sold 3008. You sold 2000 and late. I got that boom, boom, boom. That future boom, boom, boom. Let me get it now.
Boom, boom, boom. Gotta get that. 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 Boom, boom, boom. That boom, 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 that boom, 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 boom.
Find us on Facebook, hit like, and follow us at One Life Radio.
All right. One of my favorite dance songs. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix and Jill Lane. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. And Jill Lane has been on the show from the very beginning, you guys. And Jill, in a couple of short weeks, it'll be 10 years that you and I have been on the air together. Can you believe that?
Unbelievable. I'm so glad we're aging slowly.
I know. It's just so crazy. I ran across a picture of the three of us, you, me, and Tina, in studio, like back in the day. And I'll have to put it out on our social. You've seen it many times before. We're three blondes, you know, all in a row. And anyway, with big hearts, I might add, and are here to help you. And that's why I love having you on the show. Jill Lane is one of the most intelligent and most helpful people on this planet. You guys, I love her. She is a pro athlete, health and nutrition coach with over 20 years of experience in the health and wellness industry, and you can find her on Instagram at Team Fueling Champions or her website, fuelingchampions.org. Today, we're talking about protein powders versus meal replacements. Okay, so let's go to this. How about vegetarian and vegan protein powders? They've become so popular lately. How do vegetable proteins differ from animal proteins, Jill?
Yeah, really, it's just a couple of the things we covered when it comes to what makes all of the proteins different. They differ because of their source in amino acid levels and ratios and in their digestibility. And so it's really that simple. Now, what we know about the plant proteins, with the exception potentially of soy, is that they are not considered complete proteins by most experts. And a complete protein is a protein that has all 9 essential amino acids in the levels that are needed for the body to get all the resources it needs, because, again, we can't make those essential amino acids. We have to eat them. But some of them are very close. Like pea protein is just barely low, and one essential amino acid is actually higher than higher in another. That, for instance, whey protein is a little lower in. And so what you'll notice with plant-based proteins, or what I generally recommend when people want to use a plant-based protein, is to get one that has mixed plant sources. Usually it'll be a combination of a plant like pea protein, maybe rice, which I shy away a little from now, but more like pea protein and hemp, potentially mixed with a seed, like pumpkin seed protein, because when you do that, there's a mix of the amino acids that are present that makes it similar or more like a complete protein. And so it's a little bit, potentially a little bit better utilized by the body from an amino acid sourcing perspective.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree. And Sun Warrior does that. That's one of the reasons I've always loved their products. And Thorne has a pea protein. I think they also have a whey protein, don't they, Jill?
They do have a whey protein isolate, which really is kind of the gold standard. It's like really the one that has the most research on it when it comes to performance and recovery, mm-hmm. Whey protein isolate. And so, you know, it's gotten the most research. So because of that, it's gotten the most press. So it's usually the go-to whey protein, although there's a couple other forms which are equally as good for different reasons. Mm-hmm. And then pea protein, you know, again, is a viable plant protein source. Although what I am seeing in a lot of people, and this happened actually to myself, is that people start to feel a little off if they've been living off pea protein for a long time. And we might get to like how often you should use a shake in a minute. Because mm-hmm. peas are a legume, and some people really struggle with digesting legumes. Beans and peas, you know, are the legume family. And so they might notice that they start to get a little gassy and bloated after their shake. Maybe they get a little rashy or something's going on with their skin. And so if that's happening to you, it's probably time to rotate out mm-hmm. to a different source of protein. And I'm actually doing this more and more with my own clients. I have two different sources of protein powder. If they're going to be using protein powders frequently to augment protein intake daily, I have them rotating between a couple different sources. One, to cast a wider net on amino acid intake, but also just to make sure that we don't develop a sensitivity or an issue to the protein, especially if they had some digestive issues coming into it. And mm-hmm. so that's something to consider. You know, your shake or, you know, shouldn't be making you feel bloated or gassy, or you shouldn't be burping it up an hour later. If that's happening, there's something off with the protein source, or maybe some other ingredients, or maybe even just something you're mixing it with. So you have to sort that out.
Well, artificial sweeteners, you said that earlier, if there's artificial sweeteners in your protein powder or your meal replacement, get rid of it. It's very bad for your gut microbiome. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, especially sucralose, we know that one in particular can be disruptive to the variety of gut bugs and can cause people to feel gassy and bloated. And people are consuming, unfortunately, a lot of that, and especially in the weight loss industry and diet drinks and diet foods. So, you know, that's one easy place to start.
Yeah. Well, when is the best time to drink a protein shake, Jill?
Yeah, that's such a great question. And it's actually a question that's hard to answer because it really, again, depends on the goal of the person. For instance, you know, if we're using a shake to just help make sure we're getting that 65 to 75% of your body weight per day in protein, and some people, like I have a kiddo, you know, my 14-year-old doesn't love breakfast. She's just not a big breakfast eater. And so using a shake or a smoothie bowl at breakfast is something that seems doable to her because she can drink it a little easier. And then we can make sure we don't miss that protein, that opportunity to eat protein. So for some people, it's just they use protein powders with meals in lieu of eating chicken or eating fish or eating a plant-based protein. For others, they're using it strategically in between meals, and this usually is for people who are trying to add muscle or add body weight or recover from training or surgery or something where they have a higher demand and need for resources with the body. They're using it in between meals or potentially before bed to help fill in the gaps because their body, for a variety of reasons, has a higher need for protein. It could be over the long term or temporarily. And so they might be using the protein in between meals, before or after a workout session, you know, and some of those different perspectives. So it goes back to what your goal is and to determine when you should do it. I don't think people who are trying to lose weight should be drinking protein shakes in between their meals. I think they should be able to get from meal to meal in a fasted state, feeling full on protein, fiber, and healthy fats. But athletes, a lot of the athletes I work with have such a high caloric need that their shake is in between meals to make sure that they don't run short on calories each day and have a whole other set of issues because they're under-fueled.
Can you consume too much protein?
I think you can consume too much of anything because in the end, it is a calorie source.
Right.
And so if, you know, that's where I mentioned earlier that if you're trying to lose weight and you just add a protein shake, it may or may not be beneficial to you without absorbing everything else that you're doing from sun up to sun down. Because it is, even though it's a low source of calories, only 4 calories per gram, it still is a source of calories. And, you know, while it's not all about calories in, calories out for weight loss in particular, we do have to be mindful to a certain extent of that equation. Mm-hmm. And so, sure, you can consume too much of anything. You can consume too many plants. You can consume too much water. You can consume too much of anything. And so, you know, working with someone to help find that sweet spot is always a great idea if you're trying to really dial in your health or performance.
Mm-hmm. And Jill, how do meal replacements differ from protein powders?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I really think it's a different name for the same thing, right? I mean, I mm-hmm, hear the word mm-hmm. meal replacement, and so it tells me that someone might be drinking a shake instead of eating, you know, chewing a meal. And so, you know, you can take a protein powder and turn it into a meal replacement because, again, a meal doesn't just consist of protein, right? It should have fat, fiber, maybe some additional carbohydrates and some essential fatty acids. And so you can take a protein powder and mix it with water and chia and flax to get essential fatty acids and some fiber. It could have some berries for carbohydrates and additional fiber and become more like a meal. So I think it really depends on what are you mixing in with it. And again, what is your intention? Are you trying to temporarily, I think Junior mentioned maybe, and people do this, replace a meal or two a day with a shake as part of your weight loss journey and eat, you know, and then physically eat and chew a meal, which I do think is important at least once a day. That's different than if you're just drinking some protein powder mixed in water mm-hmm. to help get your protein levels up. And yeah. So they're one and the same, but it depends again on what the intention of it is.
Well, listeners are loving this conversation. I just got an email and it says that protein shakes make me congested. I know you're going to touch on this. Let's talk about it. Casein, could that be the culprit?
I would first say if it's a whey protein or has any dairy derivative, that would be my first suspect. Because we've talked a lot about this in the past. I know you have other experts that have been on who talk about the impact of dairy on the body. And for mm-hmm. me, even personally, I can't do dairy, mm-hmm. even cheese, which I love because my first symptom is I get congested and boogery and mucousy and I have to clear my throat a lot. You know, and no one wants to live like that, right?
No.
And so my first recommendation would be to switch off your whey protein to something that's dairy free. Mm-hmm. Whether you go to a plant-based one or a beef protein or bone broth protein, there's a couple options there. But if it's a dairy-based protein, that would be the first thing. And then just, again, make sure you're not mixing in milk or something like that when you switch your protein powder, because, again, it would be to try to go dairy free. If you're using a plant-based powder, then, again, you're observing, okay, what am I mixing it with? Is there something in here, whether it's a sweetener or a protein source, that's potentially triggering this reaction? You just kind of have to put your detective hat on and see, you know, what that could be coming from.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So much more to talk about. I'm looking at the clock. We're going to go for a quick break. I'm going to remind our listeners that you can go to our Thorn dispensary at oneliferadio.com and get 20% off all their products as well. For Sun Warrior, use the code OLR for 20% off all their products. We'll be right back. More coming up with Jill Lane. You are listening to One Life Radio.
Tell me when it's time to
You're listening to One Life Radio. Make sure you check out our podcast and get to know the show at oneliferadio.com.
Junior, so good on the music. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette, as I said, with Junior and Jill Lane. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. We are continuing our conversation with Jill Lane. She is a pro athlete, health and nutrition coach with over 20 years experience in the health and wellness industry, and she is the creator of Fueling Champions, a three-step sports performance and athletic nutrition program built to maximize the potential of student athletes and the parents and schools who support them. You can find her at her website, fuelingchampions.org, or on Instagram at Team Fueling Champions. Okay, let's finish up talking about these. There's so many questions. We'll never finish this conversation, Jill. There's so much to know about protein powders and meal replacements. But something I thought about over the break, too, was the green powders that have become so popular. What do you say about those?
Well, a lot like protein, people aren't getting enough plants in their diet, and we can use a little help, right? And so I like the idea of using a greens or reds or, you know, veggie type powder. But like protein, there's some things you need to know. Like any green powders out on the market isn't going to cut it. It has to have like some real firm quality standards, because you're eating some concentrates, and really this goes for the protein powders as well. You're taking something and concentrating it down, which if there's a pollutant or a toxin or a heavy metal, is going to concentrate that. I mentioned really quickly when we were talking about protein powders that back in the day, you know, one of the only sources of plant-based protein powders was rice. And now that's really something that's kind of frowned upon in the industry, because it's really hard to find clean rice without arsenic and other things in it. And so when it comes to greens, you want to shop for greens like you would shop for your fruits and veggies. Are they organic? You know,
absolutely.
Is the powder gluten-free and dairy-free and low in sugar? You know, we're not trying to, you know, drink something with as much sugar as a soda, but that looks green. And a lot of the green juices and green stuff out there, you might as well just be drinking a soda. It has the same amount of sugar.
Yeah.
And so it's masquerading around as a health food. And so the big things to know about greens powders, they should be organic. They should be free of the top allergens like gluten, dairy, and soy. And they should be very low or have next to no sugar or carbohydrates in them. Mm-hmm. And it's a bonus if you can get them non-GMO. You know, most USDA certified organic stuff is, but it's a bonus if it can be that as well. So just like you would shop for your veg and fruits, you want to shop for your greens powders in that same way, because this is a concentrated source, which means if it's not free of those things, chances are you could be getting a concentrated source of toxins in what you think is a healthy green juice every day.
Yeah. Well, you know this company, and I guess I'll announce it right now. Organifi has signed on as one of our advertisers here at One Life Radio. It's a great company, you guys. In fact, Jill, you were the one that told me about it, I think like 4 years ago when I first bought their products, and they're outstanding. They're everything that Jill just talked about. You know, they're organic, they're responsibly sourced, all these things. There's not a bunch of fillers or sugar or junk in their products. So the official kickoff date is July 1. So I'm super excited about that, having Organifi on our team.
Yeah, you know, it's so exciting because, again, like protein, you know, even the best of us, I had some greens powder earlier today because we're always just working on doing what we can for our health every day, whether it's mental, spiritual, physical, our food and our fuel. And sometimes we just need a little extra boost. And when we travel, I'm traveling for the next few weeks. I'm taking greens powder with me because sometimes access to clean fruits and veg can be a little dicey. And, you know, the cool thing is that we don't have a lot of excuses anymore. Like, we have great stuff at our fingertips. If we choose to work on our wellness, that can help us get there. You just take a few minutes to look at labels and shop wisely.
Well, and speaking of labels, you know, this is probably one of the most important questions that I wanted to ask you today was, are there ingredients to avoid in protein powders and meal replacements both?
They're going to be the things, you know, that we talk about so much and that you talk about with a lot of your guests. It's going to be all the artificial stuff, artificial sweeteners, artificial flavors and dyes, Even hydrogenated oils can find their ways into these powders somehow, some way. And so you just want to look for stuff that you would normally not consume in the foods you're buying, hopefully, to not be in these products and any of your supplements, as we've talked, any of the supplements that we're all taking, as we've talked about before, because they don't help us with our health acutely or chronically in the long term to be taking in artificial sweeteners and food dyes and hydrogenated things. When it's a plant-based source product, when at all possible, it should be organic. And if it's a whey-based product or an animal-based product, you should, you know, contact the company and say, you know, are these from grass-fed cows? You know, like, how are these cows raised that you're deriving the whey protein from, because it's part of the cheese manufacturing process? Or how are these animals raised that you're deriving these bone broth protein from, so that it's in alignment with, you know, the way you would shop for food?
No, absolutely. And the way you shop for food. So, okay. So, we've probably got time for one more question. I'm looking at the clock. You know, can you get the same nutritional benefits from a meal replacement shake as you would from eating whole foods?
That's such a good question. I, you know, in the nutrition me has to say that I always prefer real food. However, sometimes people struggle to get enough real food in. And it's really because of the variety. If you only have the same protein powder all the time with the same three ingredients mixed in with it, you're only getting nutrition and the amino acids and micronutrients and phytonutrients from those three or four foods. And if you look outside and you in the animal kingdom and the plant kingdom, there's tons of variety. And so variety is king when it comes to our health and wellness. But I say that knowing that I use shakes and I use green powders to help augment getting my needs in. And so you can strike up a positive balance between both, although I don't think people should live off of protein shakes and meal replacements for very long. But, you know, there are strategies where you might be using them a bit more initially to jumpstart something like weight loss, potentially, if you're working with someone who knows what they're doing to make sure you're getting enough calories and enough nutrition. But if you live off them for too long, chances are that you don't take in enough calories and that negatively impacts your metabolism. So work with a professional to help you sort that out.
Yeah. And I think I'm going to hear the music in just a second, but I'm going to try to squeeze one more. There it is. I'm going to try to squeeze in one more question. If you can answer it quickly, you got 10 seconds. How to use protein powder for post-workout recovery?
Usually within an hour post-workout, here's the answer. The sooner you ingest protein post-workout, especially if you're an athlete or trying to add muscle, the better, because that's when recovery starts.
All right. Love it. Jill Lane, thank you so much. Always, always a pleasure. You've got so much knowledge. Thank you for sharing it with us, and have a fantastic 4th of July with your family, with your beautiful, lovely family.
Likewise. Thank you for having me, Bern.
Of course. Of course. Jill Lane, everyone. Check her out on Instagram at Team Fueling Champions, or her website, fuelingchampions.org. All right. I've got to kick the field goal, everyone. You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life.